This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
Did that surprise you?
I mean, you just never know. You never know where it's going to start, where it's going to go.
We don't have a timer. We don't have a countdown clock.
No, we just look at each other and both of us are quiet until one of us.
It's kind of a power move because Steven goes, okay, I'm ready. And then we both sit here like, yeah, right. Well, guess what? It's when we're ready. It's not like he doesn't know that already. It's just fun to do. It's fun to act out.
We're mean. No, we're not.
Come on.
We're the not meanest.
That's just for on camera. Hi, everybody. This is My Favorite Murder. It's a Minnesota. In this one, I'm going to start pronouncing it Minnesota.
Minnesota, like Minnesota.
It's partially Minnesota, and we're going to read your hometown murders that you've sent to us. Thousands upon thousands of hometown murders sit in our inbox.
Oh my God, it's
waiting
so true.
To be read.
Some of them are probably fucking gems that we'll never get to because, like, when I look for them for this, for Minnesotas, I look in the first two pages of inbox. So, like, do you know what I mean?
Yes, but I try to go to the end, then I get lost in the middle because there is no end. Mm-mm. Then I find one, then I can't find the other one that I flagged because...
Karen, this sounds like life.
This sounds like how my brain works. It's why I can't get anything done.
Yeah.
Anyhow, guys, hey. It's going to be so fun. Definitely send us your hometown murder.
Yeah, because clearly...
There's such a good system.
We care so much.
We love your stories. People have really been trying to, like, there's been a couple titles that have really hooked me in this time.
I mean, I think all the ones we've read are like gems.
Yes.
So we won't, don't worry. We get a lot of them. We won't read you the fucking bunk ones.
We will do our best. Also, if you send us, a thing that says it's a private message that you have to click a link to get to.
We are not going to click any links.
We delete that immediately. We're sometimes not going to send you money in South Africa. I don't care if you're a prince and it's just going to be for the weekend.
But a prince, though.
I know. It always sounds very believable.
Yeah.
But I've lost over $15,000.
Oh my God.
Done it seven times.
I know, but it's worth it to be able to say it on a Minnesota.
That's right. That I've lost $15,000.
Yeah, that's it. It was all worth it.
To all kinds of South African princes.
Royalty. Speaking of royalty.
Oh.
No, there's not. Do you want to go?
the perfect segue.
Yeah.
It's a made up
segue. Is that called a non sequitur? What's that called?
A non sequitur?
Non sequitur.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't pronounce words.
It's your charm.
Do you know that I thought that posthumously... And I said it on my other podcast, Slumber Party. Mm-hmm. I thought it was posthumously. Posthumous. I said it wrong in front of Allie and Steve Agee, and they both like paused. Can we go back to that word that you just said?
Posthumously?
Posthumously.
That's when you die with that look on your face? Oh, you guys, I'm dead.
I mean, yeah. All right.
You know what? Here's the thing. The beautiful part is because it's free, you don't have to pronounce things correctly.
I owe nothing to no one.
That's right. It's just this strange, free of exchange of time and ideas. And we do our best, but our best isn't good enough.
Do you know? And the other thing is that flaws are what make us beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous, beautiful snowflake butterflies.
We're the rare snowflake butterfly that lives only in Antarctica.
And sometimes get shit wrong.
Yeah.
Lots of Lots of times kids do.
They're the dumbest butterflies on the planet.
And yet they are so cocky about it.
They're cocky. They're hard to be around at parties. big opinions, loud voices.
Yeah, great hair.
Great hair.
I mean, let's be honest.
And really kind of quippy.
Funny, though.
Fun, but then tiring.
You're like, I don't know why I like her, but that butterfly.
God damn, that snowflake butterfly is fascinating
to
me.
You know, she's fun to be around.
She's fun and also so flawed. And it makes me feel better about myself.
Right. She makes me feel like I'm not that bad.
That's right. None of us are.
That bad?
Even the snowflake butterfly.
Well, so should we end it here?
Yeah, let's end this whole concept.
Snowflake butterflies or my favorite murder?
The whole brand. We're shutting it down tonight.
Oh my gosh, are you okay?
Yeah, I have
wonder what it is that you have.
Cancer. Sorry. never funny. That's what comes up. This is what I'm fighting constantly.
I was saying the wrong thing.
Ideas like that come up. Then you're like, no, don't say it. Everybody hates things like that.
But as far as we know, you and I and Steven are the only people hearing this.
Exactly. So like, we think it's funny in this living room.
We're in my living room talking shit.
Suddenly I get a letter from the American Cancer Society. How dare you in your podcast?
Okay. We'll give them half of our meager earnings from whatever the fuck.
I like the word meager.
Meager. Mm-hmm. Meager earnings.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills, because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
All right.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Let's get serious about it.
Never. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because the title that drew my eye to this Minnesota email, Hometown Murder, is The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Ooh.
My Hometown Murder.
Ooh.
This is from Michael.
Okay.
He says, first off, thank y'all. Where are we?
Texas?
I think we might be.
Yay.
First off, thank y'all. I feel so much more at ease with my serial killer and cult obsession. Me too. Honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Me too, Michael. Truth be told, I just found your podcast the other day and have only listened to the first 10 episodes. Get out of here.
Fuck you.
So I'm hoping you haven't discussed my hometown murder yet, but I couldn't wait. And had to email y'all, because that's how they are down there.
Love it.
Okay. My hometown murder is Texarkana, Texas.
Yep.
Which is home to the unsolved case of the Phantom Killer, or the Texarkana Moonlight Murders.
Yes.
Do you know this one?
No.
I don't either.
That's what I love about it.
Which happened way back in 1946.
Ooh.
These murders are the ones that started the whole couples out at Lovers Lane murder stories.
Yes.
And all the urban legends that come with that.
Killing me. Michael? Is it Michael?
Michael.
Michael.
It's Michael Texarkana. This is what we were talking about that time when you said, let's find out the sources of urban legends. Let's try to do a show like that. And I was like, sure, talk to you later. We never did it, never talked about it again. And here's Michael doing it for
us. Fuck yeah, Michael.
All right. So it's a little long, so I'll try to go fast. He attacked eight people that they know of and killed five. He would come up on young lovers parked in their car at night, and the local lovers at the local Lovers Lane area, and would shine a flashlight in their eyes, make them get out of the car, and the ever so classic tie up the guy, rape the girl, and murder them both. But the first attack, the couple survived. The woman was reportedly raped with a barrel of a gun.
Honey,
he put that in parentheses because it was like, and the girl said that he wore a pillowcase with the eye holes cut out.
Ew, ooh,
I'm sorry.
Scary.
That's awful. And also, you know who did that?
Who? Oh.
Zodiac.
Zodiac did that.
Remember that part in that fucking movie where he comes up over that hill?
Oh my God. That to me was I think about that murder. That scene.
Yes.
You guys, if you haven't watched Zodiac, what are you doing?
Turn this off right now and run away.
Karen, don't suggest it.
No, it's such a good movie. It's so well done. Mark Ruffalo, God bless him and all of his.
Yeah.
But that's really it. I hear the tiniest thing that relates to another thing. And I'm like, there it is. That's where the Zodiac started.
Can we get, what's the word I'm looking for? Honestly, that seems like not very smart. A pillowcase? Like, it seems like it would rustle and move. You like miss the eye holes a lot because it's like, it's hot and you're breathing. And like, what do you take one of your mom's pillowcases from the linen cabinet? She's going to notice.
Okay. After two couples were murdered, the town went full blown nuts, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect from a small Texas town.
Yeah.
Cause that is insane. The southern small town that everyone was super friendly and always left their doors unlocked started locking their doors. There was a curfew and the town was hysterical. Also, because Texarkana is a split city, half Texas and half what? Arkansas. And the
I wasn't even pretending. Can I just say Karen was pointing at me multiple times to like get that?
I was
like,
repeatedly.
I purposely was like, Nope. I during class, that class, I was reading Kurt Vonnegut or sleeping. Like, did not.
I thought it was a gimme. I thought you were going to jump in there.
That's very sweet of you that you think I'm.
Okay. So it's a split city. The murders were happening all around it. And it became one of those jurisdiction clusters, which is also what happened in Zodiac. Yeah. Sorry. Now there's two county, correlations.
County fights.
And it didn't help that small town cops were completely incompetent when it came to crime scenes, and they ruined all the evidence. Well,
they weren't incompetent.
They didn't know.
They didn't have experience, prior experience.
And also it's 46. Yeah. Like, what did they know? Yeah. They didn't even have the yellow tape yet.
I mean, World War II had just ended, so all their young men were killed and dead. The only cops were like the old timers who like hadn't gotten drafted for World War II.
Right. Or so young that they like missed it. Yes.
They're recovering from all of the fucking crazy shit.
War shit.
War shit, man.
Yeah. We're really trying to change that messaging. So anyway, now the Texas Rangers were eventually brought in to investigate, and they made the statement that they wouldn't leave the town until he was caught.
Well,
that's kind of awesome. And there's where your movie starts, because it's a hot young Texas Ranger, 1946, moves to Texarkana. The girl that works at the soda shop, she thought it was over for her.
Yeah.
Because her guy died in the war.
Her guy died in the war. Did she get left behind with a young, sweet, like little girl?
Maybe a little girl.
Who's like so sweet and smart.
And kind of just great and supportive at the soda shop.
Totally.
And then here comes Texas Ranger. She's like, avert your eyes. Don't even go there. He's a heartbreaker.
What about the old grandpa-y guy who owns a soda shop, who's like a dad to her?
Yes.
He dies. Of a heart attack.
What if he dies making out with his old girlfriend on Lover's Lane by this guy? We just tweak it a tiny bit for cinematic.
Did you notice I'm trying not to gasp directly into the microphone anymore? Because I was listening to an episode and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
People like it though.
No, they don't.
It's almost a tactile response.
It freaks them out. Okay.
It's like you're sucking the air out of their ear. So anyhow, guys, back to the story.
Okay. This is the only one we're doing this episode.
I can't find my spot. All right.
I think my oven... I left it open and on.
Did you know? Is you're hot again?
No, because we're going out of...
Oh, yeah, because we're high.
Right.
As kites. We're not. Guys, young kids were going to Lover's Lanes and sitting out there acting like they were getting it on, but really had guns. And we're trying to bait the phantom killer. Are you kidding me?
Awesome, but stupid.
Yeah, that's insane. God bless us Texans. We really do mean well, but we have issues. Everyone was freaking out. But at that time, the general consensus was, don't go to Lover's Lane. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And you're good. Nope. He then attacked a couple in their home, shooting a husband and wife through the window.
No.
And then coming into the house to get the injured wife and her barely escaped. And running for help to the neighbors, which of course was like super far away.
Oh,
yes.
No,
as someone who lived 5 miles out of town.
It's not like step, 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 knock.
No, dude. And also you're running in the dark. You're running in the dark through like a field
barefoot.
To get to the neighbors. Probably barefoot, definitely bleeding.
Jesus.
I'm writing this tonight when I go home. This is the best movie I've ever written.
Okay.
And first. Right. And after that, the majority of the town boarded up their windows. Whoa. So
wow.
Here's the kicker. So imagine you're a tourist and you're just like, hey, let's, I want to go to Arkansas.
Driving through.
Yeah. Drive on through.
By way of
Texarkana.
Yeah.
Or should I have named the freeway?
No, you're right. That's
great.
What I meant.
Okay. Everyone in the good Southern Christian town is accusing everyone of being the murderer. Amazing plot point. To the point where the police have to be like, everyone chill, show some respect of your fellow man. The town constantly lives with everyone's buttholes pursed. Michael. You know what? By this point in the email, he's feeling his keyboard. He's like, you know what? I'm start goosing it.
I think you're going to have him as a co-writer of this movie.
He's good. The Texas Rangers said that they wouldn't leave until we had that already. So then in the 70s.
What? Cut to?
They basically, what he is saying is they slowly slid on out of town because they never caught him.
Into the 70s?
In the 70s, they made a movie about it. Oh, which,
man.
There goes my dream. Which became a cult classic of sorts, The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Oh, that wasn't his
title.
I see.
All right. All of this is making sense.
It's about the phantom killer in Texarkana. They filmed it in Texarkana, so it was a big deal, but the movie was made was made in a faux documentary style, and it was ridiculously inaccurate. There is a scene where the Phantom Killer attaches a knife to the end of a trombone and plays it as he stabs the girl in the ear, which never happened.
Karen, we are watching this live and commenting on
this is one of the greatest emails I've ever received. Yeah. Also, I added the ear part. It just says stabs the girl.
Oh.
I don't know where I got that.
That's a bummer.
Okay. No one knew the exact facts because everyone took that film to be the truth. So I grew up in all this ridiculous lore and urban legend that existed around the Phantom Killer. Blah, blah, blah. So when someone like me, which is y'all, because we are kindred spirits.
What if he was like, and it was me?
Yes. I am 85 and the best email typer of all time. He's basically saying he spent his entire life being obsessed with the Phantom Killer, trying to convince friends to go to the spot where they were murdered, making t-shirts with the pillowcase hooded face.
Oh my God.
Phantom Killer on it that say sleep tight, Texarkana.
One of us.
Steven.
Oh my God.
I mean, Michael, I'm sorry, not Steven. The town doesn't talk about it much. The newspaper puts stuff out on anniversaries. It's kind of a weird stain on the town, but the greatest thing that's ever, ever is that every year around Halloween, they play the movie, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, outside on a big screen in Spring Lake Park where the murders happen.
Okay. Invite us to that. We will be the MCs. We will
do our dance routine.
We'll bring a casserole, a hot dish.
Yeah. What else do they like in Texas?
Hot dish.
We'll bring guns.
We'll bring our guns and a hot dish.
And a hot dish and a trombone.
And we'll, yes.
Only 7 more paragraphs. Okay, not really. Just kidding.
I think that was it.
He goes, this is becoming a freaking novel, but I have more about it. Stick with me because it's going to blow your mind. Oh, here we go. There is such a theory on the internet and such that Texarkana Phantom Killer and the one and only Zodiac Killer are the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are the fucking...
Cool. I won't go into a ton of details, but age-wise and time-wise, it's totally possible.
Whoa.
The similarities between the two are ridiculous, from both of them wearing hoods to attacking couples, using flashlights to blind them, using a gun and a knife, the way they're killed, ton more. I have goosebumps thinking about it. If you ever have time, look it up. Let your mind be blown. Apologies for typos. I am not going back and proofreading this. Y'all are doing your thing. Y'all are amazing, Michael. That was great.
That was amazing. Someone in that small town had a nephew or a cousin visit them from the Bay Area around that time, and that's the piece of the puzzle that they're missing.
Oh, like there's a family connection, or there's some kind of like he was in the army and he got transferred to whatever.
There's
like,
a reason he's in that weird small town.
Yeah.
And someone knows, someone isn't putting that connection together, or they're already dead.
What would be interesting, and I'm sure they've done this already, but if they took the name of that guy that's in Zodiac that they go and check,
right.
And he's got Zodiac on his watch and
amazing.
Everything, whatever, I can't remember that guy's name, but if they would just check and see if he was in Texarkana.
Yeah,
the main suspect that ended up having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Who was also a pedophile and crazy and lived in the town next to mine, Santa Rosa.
Right. You know what drives me crazy about all of these cases where it's like so obviously this person, or like, you know, so you would think, is that then they do a search of that person's house and they find absolutely nothing.
Right.
I get so frustrated by that because I'm like, look here, look there. You're not looking hard enough. Like in the Fall, that British TV show where he hides shit in his daughter's ceiling. It's like, well, you would never look in those places.
Oh, spoiler.
Do they? What? Do they look in those places?
No.
Wait. Oh, I'm spoiling The Fall? That's like in the first episode.
Okay.
We have to
I am
get
not
better.
Spoiling it.
Okay, good.
said, do they? That was like we were in a fight at 7-Eleven.
Oh, I thought you meant, oh, they do look there? Like you would know.
No.
We're in a fight at 7-Eleven.
You're like, do they, Karen?
Listen, I will trade. I will bet you my Hot Pocket.
That they do.
No, you're exactly right.
That obviously, if they're smart enough to be a serial killer, they're not going to have something in a drawer in the closet.
Do they check the toilet tank? Is my only question.
Yeah. Do they drive out to that barn that has nothing to do with that right. person, but still that's the thing they've been going to?
No. Stephen, how long has this been?
It's already 50 minutes.
I feel like this is the way to do it.
22 minutes.
Shit. Because it was so good. Want me to do a quickie or should
yeah,
just not
do
even?
It. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to find the quickest one. All right. This is from Sarah and the title is Yikes, it's murder.
That's so true, Sarah.
Hey guys, I'm going to tell you about two murders, but I'm only going to read one of them. Next said Georgia. Technically my mom's hometown, but same deal, right?
Sure.
I spent almost all of my summers in Sasebo, Nagasaki.
What?
Is that right?
Nebraska?
Yeah. Wait, oh my god, I'm embarrassed now. Oh yeah, okay. It's just a plain old city in southern Japan. I did get Nagasaki, right? Thank Good. You very much.
Yes, you did.
In 2000, talking about World War II again.
Yeah.
In 2004-ish, a murder known as the Sasebo slashing happened. An elementary school girl, like 11 or 12 years old, killed one of her classmates in school with a utility knife.
But
apparently she was bullied by the girl on the internet. She was into some pretty creepy stuff, like a game called The Red Room and the book Battle Royale, which is straight up kids killing kids.
Oh no.
It's great, she says.
It's great.
My favorite book of all time. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Sarah. The town went into utter chaos. It was awful. And then everyone calmed down. In 2014, exactly 10 years and 25 days after the Sasebo slashing, a high school girl killed her classmate in her own home. Apparently, there was some dismemberment shit going on. I was 15 when this murder happened. The exact same age as both the murderer and her victim. I also happened to be visiting for summer vacation when this happened. My grandma and I got interviewed about the murder while we were out shopping. It was weird.
Ooh.
It's really surprising how quickly these things die down. It's been a year and a half since the last murder happened and no one talks about it anymore. Nothing ever happens here. There. You'd think people would be talking about this shit for a pretty long time. Anyways, I'll email you an update if a similar murder happens in 2024.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
That's we will.
Sarah, great job.
That was awesome. It was international.
Mm-hmm.
Kids killing kids is always a fascination.
Yeah, Japan has some like fucking interesting, like, I feel like it's a specific type of murder and a type of murderer. And
yeah, well, because culturally they're so like locked down and everyone's on, you know, it's, that's how it's presented to America. Yeah. It's like, you know, everyone does their homework. Everyone, they're always in uniforms. There's expectations
beyond what we have here in America.
Yes. There's a lot of cultural pressures
right.
to succeed
yes.
and to be of a certain, it's always education based and
yeah.
Yeah. So then you mess that up. You fuck around in the middle of that and like you're bringing in the shame element.
Freaks
Somebody's
everyone out.
A sociopath.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Speaking of.
Speaking of goodbyes.
Yeah.
Let's say one now.
Go to Instagram, My Favorite Murder, and go to Twitter,
My Favorite Murder.
If you rate, review, and subscribe, you're less likely to be murdered. Don't take that as fact.
That's from the FBI, but you can't rely on their numbers.
Elvis is hiding.
Elvis doesn't get it.
Elvis! Oh, you can whistle?
There's Mimi. What about her?
Mimi won't meow.
Mimi,
you want a cookie?
Mimi, you want a cookie?
Oh, no, she's very quiet.
Hi.
All right. Well, oh, here he comes. All right.
Then if you're here, then I'm going to say stay sexy.
Don't get murdered. Elvis, you want a cookie?
Yeah.
You want a cookie? You're going to need to change it up a little,
That
dude.
Was like a little pouty.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.